Hi guys, welcome to another episode of That Is Life. Okay, I am recording a video whilst also recording a podcast, so bear with me. So I wanted to come on and speak because there's a lot going on in the world right now. There was a lot going on in my world right now, let alone now collectively with the pandemic and with everything that's going on with Black Lives Matter. If you're listening to this on a podcast, you may not have realised, I may not have said myself, I am mixed race. My dad is black, my mum is white. And so I am a person of colour. And what's going on in the world at the moment has been, you know, ridiculously so. It's been an eye-opener for me, even though technically my eyes were open to things already. But I have to say that, I mean, there's so much context that I sort of don't know where to start and exactly what this podcast kind of I wanted it to be about. I don't want to go straight into where I'm at and how I'm feeling without sort of giving it some other context and talking about other stuff, but I understand that the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that is going on this week should not be about guilt and shame, and it needs to be about us learning and doing better and speaking up and educating ourselves. And while I 100% think that that makes sense, my own platform is about how I feel about all the stuff that I'm discovering about my own well-being and my own mental health and my own self-development. And so I think that it would be doing myself a disservice, as well as I suppose my platform, to not talk about how what I'm discovering is making me feel. So in terms of white people doing the work, I know myself as a mixed race person, I'm sure there's black people that have to do the work as well. I think that we all as humanity need to do the work, because it's a system that we are trying to uncover and remove. It's, you know, I think a lot of people feel a lot of guilt for their own privilege. I know that guilt has been a feeling that's come up in me over the last week. My guilt mainly being about how I view the world and how I have said things like, I don't see colour, and, you know, why can't we live in this rainbow, you know, multicoloured, colourblind world where we don't notice colour? And I've said I hadn't noticed my own colour until I was 16. You know, being brown didn't seem like an issue, which shows my own privilege, because essentially, I mean, we'll get into microaggressions that I have bypassed and not clocked, but in terms of the fact that I haven't had to notice my skin colour, or that I have the privilege to say I don't see skin colour, really kind of invalidates people's experiences. And I have never looked at it like that before, even when my black friends have said to me, you're saying that from a very privileged point of view, I still haven't heard. I still have had a hard time hearing, which I know that there's a lot of talk at the moment from black people saying, why now? Why are you speaking up now? Why is it, like, you know, how many black people had to die before you spoke up? And is it even the fact that black people have died, or is it just the fact that it now makes you look bad on social media not to say anything? And all I can say is, for me, from my own perspective, is I obviously hadn't wanted to look hard enough. I was in my own bubble, and I said this on a blog post yesterday. I was in my own privileged bubble until I was 24, in the sense of not just, you know, of mixed or white privilege, but just in terms of the fact that, like, I was privileged enough to believe that people that you loved wouldn't die. Even though that's a crazy thing to, like, think, but I was in a bubble of just thinking I just had this, like, crazy, amazing, wonderful life, and that nothing bad could ever happen. And then in my own life, that bubble was burst at 34 last year. Whereas for some people, like, okay, cool, so I had my rose-tinted glasses knocked off last year. Some people never got given those rose-tinted glasses. Some people were just born without those glasses and instead were put in a box of limitations because of the colour of their skin, because of the darkness of their skin. And I have to acknowledge the rose-tinted glasses that I got given. And, you know, just because I've had a hard life doesn't mean a hard life. Hard experiences in within my life doesn't mean that I haven't had privilege, which I have. So I will do more posts on privilege and where to go for your resources to find out and learn more. You know, I'll share what I'm reading and what I'm learning 100%, and I will put that up. But I am a person of color and I do have an experience, and I am experiencing some stuff that's going on for me at the moment. And I wanted to share that. So for me at the moment, there is this overwhelming feeling of suddenly being very aware of the color of my skin. And after years of saying I don't identify as black or white and that I have never really thought about it. And, you know, as I just said, probably just because I've never really had to think about it, you know, apart from very certain scenarios, which I have often blown off. So, you know, in the scenario of age 14, Russell Payne saying that he didn't want to go out with me because I was brown, and I just was like ignorant to it, brushed it off. Being in Italy and people staring at me and Jay as an interracial couple and just being like, must be because we're stylish, and discovering someone told us, oh, no, no, it's because in Italy there's lots of racism and we were on a very small island with lots of older generation people. And, you know, that, again, I just blew it off and was like, ignorance, rather than actually like stepping up and saying something and saying like, guys, this is what the world is still like. And I, you know, I very rarely said those things, and having an old boss say to me, don't, you know, when I was looking at interviewing people for a reception job, like don't reply to people with foreign names. Sorry, what? And I remember being mad at the time, and me and my friend saying to the boss, like, that's not okay, not speaking up enough about it. And so there's so many microaggressions that I have just let slip, so many systemic racism shit that I have just sort of let slip and bought into, and my own naivety has made me be part of the problem. And so, yes, whilst there's that guilt, yes, again, another episode, I think there's so many different angles to go on this, but I really do want to touch on the fact that today is Blackout Tuesday, and it's, you know, a movement that suddenly became, you know, came upon us, where we're all posting black squares to say, you know, oh, it's meant to be, we're gonna say nothing, and ideally let the Black Lives Matter movement hashtag like have more of a say, people of color have more of a say. But there were no rules, right? Like this movement kind of just got happened, and then it caught wind, and then everyone's just posting a black square and putting the wrong hashtag, and things are getting washed away because they're using the wrong hashtag, and da-da-da-da-da. And I saw somebody, an activist, you know, put up a post that said, guys, this is not about silencing black people. Black people still speak up. This is about white people shutting down for the day so that we can have a voice and be heard. Do not silence yourself. And I basically had a bit of a mental fart breakdown. And I messaged two really close friends, Emma and Joey, and one is from Uganda, is black, and one is white from the UK. And then there's me, and we have very open conversations, and we are they're like my family. Just honestly, like, I couldn't get through half the stuff I have without them. And I said, I feel so confused because I've spent all my life saying I don't identify with a colour. I now acknowledge that that's not necessarily the right thing to say or feel, and that that invalidates, and that I need to acknowledge that I am brown. I am half white, half black. I still don't know what that means. I don't know what that means to me, because I said to them, what's really hard is that the only thing I ever really identified with is my mum. And not because of her colour, but just because of who we were as people, how she brought me up, the things she taught me, the things I've learned. And my mum passed away in January. And since then, I have found it really hard to, you know, all I want to do is make sure that who I am as a person and her perception of me lives on, because her perception of me was obviously very good perception. You know, she liked me and loved me. You know, and I talk about well-being and body image and self-development and mental health and self-love on my Instagram. That's what it's about, and my blog. And I said recently, like, I realized how much I want to not be down on myself, not be insecure, and to believe all the good things about me. Because if I don't, I feel like it's doing a disservice to my mum and her belief in me. And so I really don't want to, you know, lose the perception of what my mum thought of me. I want to carry that and hold it true to me and my values and what I believe in. But suddenly, you know, her being gone has made me question who I am. Okay, well, who the fuck am I without my mum's perception of me? What does that mean? Because there's nobody else's perception I trust more than my mum's, other than my own. And even that's quite hard when you've grown up insecure and learned to like yourself, love yourself, accept yourself. And then suddenly all this stuff's going on in the world, and suddenly I feel that I have to face who I am as a colour, even though I've always said I don't identify with a colour, and now I feel I need to acknowledge that, and I think that that's fair, and there's lots of learning for me to do there. But I feel that the more I have to acknowledge and identify as black or white or both, I feel very fearful of coming away from who my mum identified me as, because I don't think she saw me as a colour. And then, you know, like my friend Joey, my black friend, you know, said, you know, as her parents, you know, had to sit her down and tell her, like, you've got to work harder, and you've got to, you know, had to tell her roots. And she said she had to identify with her culture, because you feel that you don't fit in, even though you're born here. And I then felt very defensive of my mum, because she never did sit me down and have that conversation. And that's part of her own privilege, or her naivety of the fact that she didn't think she had to. And I always felt very grateful that she didn't, like, say that you're going to find life harder because you are mixed. Is that because she didn't believe that I would, because she had her own privileges and her own naivety, or because she made that purposeful choice not to say it? And I don't know. I never had this conversation with my mum, which, you know, brings up loads of other stuff. And also then, you know, if I do start identifying with one colour or the other, or brown, or what that means to me, and, you know, I'm still very much confused, but I don't want to suddenly identify with something that feels distant from my mum. And I don't mean that as colour, I mean that as suddenly thinking I'm someone different to what I was. You know, there's a very distinct life before mum died, life after mum died. And I want to hold on to as much of me as was before mum died, because you realise how different you are going to be once your mum's died, because life can never be the same. You know, life is heavy and there will always be this niggle of grief, of the realisation that she's not here, that she's taught me all she can teach me, that we've spoken about all we can speak about. And so having all this new realization or lessons or things that I'm learning or who I may identify with going forward, like, just suddenly feels like such a departure from who I was. And she loved self-development and growth and evolution, and she would have been rooting, she will be rooting for me to be learning and discovering and finding, you know, becoming less naive. And but at the same time, my own naivety, you know, was learnt from her as well, of this idea that we could, like, one love and one race, we're all the human race. And I'm not dissing that belief, and I still hold that so true to me. But at the same time, I know that that doesn't erase the past, and I can't erase the past. And I have been really invalidating people's stories and experiences and pasts and things they hold on to by saying that. And so I realize that there's stuff to learn and shit to do and things to stand up for. I do. But yeah, there's just this massive fear of discovering something new about yourself when you don't have your mum there anymore, and not wanting to let go of who you were, but also knowing that you are someone different. And that's without everything that's going on in the world. Like, that's just in general, when since grief started. And then just there's, on top of those heavy feelings of identity and loss and grief and collective grief and pain, there's just that feeling of them not knowing. When I read this post today that said, you know, Black people, it's for you, this today is for you to speak up, this fear of going, are they talking to me? Or am I not involved in this conversation because I have privilege? And I know that in the wellness space, which is where I am, I'm a well-being coach, I've not dwelled on this fact, but I've known of it, that my voice is not heard as much because I'm mixed. And it's very hard not to, like, fear sounding bitter. And this is part of the systemic racism problem, is that, like, the system has been built in such a way that makes me think that I come across as bitter, by acknowledging the fact that being mixed, a person of colour, in a particular space, and then me noticing that that means my voice is heard less, makes me bitter. Because, there are other mixed and Black people that have got lots of followers and they're doing well, so that can't possibly be. It must just be because you've got shit content. But my point being that if there was exactly the same person as me, but taller, leaner, whiter, blonder, with exactly the same content, which would be, you know, near enough impossible, but you get what I'm saying, that their voice would be heard. They would be asked to do more podcasts, more public speaking. They would be in the click a lot more. And perhaps, you know, I do need to also step up in my space and create better content, because it does make me suddenly feel inferior, because I do know there are people of colour that are doing amazingly in the wellness space. And I'm not saying I'm not doing well because of the color of my skin. I'm just saying I'm heard less. I'm saying that a white person has just the rung up on the ladder a lot more than I do because of my color. And so I feel like when that person is saying, come on, Black people, like, you can speak, this is your day not to be quiet, like, keep speaking and talking about Black Lives Matter and, you know, making a stand, I suppose, for that systemic racism, and, you know, having my voice heard in a space where actually it's like kind of muffled by a lot of white influences, I feel like, oh, okay, like, yeah, like I'm part of that conversation. I am mixed. I am half black. And so I should speak up. But then the other half of me is like, but I've had so much privilege, soft curly hair privilege, light complexion privilege. Like, I've had more privilege than somebody who would be putting out the same content who might be darker skinned than myself. And I've also sat and been like, oh, no, like my skin hasn't been a problem. My skin color has never held me back. Like, I've come far. Like, I don't believe I've dealt with any racism. And like that, just in that, because I have not acknowledged the microaggressions or the systemic racism or the just or general racism around me as much. Is it because I was naive and didn't see it? Is it because I really haven't had it? Or is it because I've chosen not to see it and I've chosen not to look? And my therapist said to me last Friday, like, you've had fucked up shit happen to you in your life and you literally play it all down. And now I'm like, and was my race one of those things? Like, or the way people viewed me with my race, was that one of the things I have shut down and pretended didn't exist? And so I'm now like, well, do I have the right to speak up? If I've not spoken up before, I've let shit just pass me by. I've heard my black friends tell me their experiences and I still haven't been like, I totally get it. Because I've still been like, yeah, but guys, if we just love each other, we can live in a world that, like, I still didn't hear them when they were like, no, it can't work like that. And I'm only hearing them now. Am I only hearing them now? Or is it because social media has made me hear? Now, is that a positive? Thank fuck we have social media that is making everybody listen up. But how awful, we didn't listen up before. I didn't listen up before. So I am now a mixed race person that feels like I've got all this privilege and hasn't spoken up before or noticed things before or heard or purposefully looked and sought out and listened and educated myself. So do I really have the right to still speak up in the space? But then when they're talking to white people, you haven't stepped up and now you're stepping up. I'm like, but they're not talking to me. But at the same time, I haven't stepped up, but I have still had an experience and I have still had a story and I have still had an experience different to that person who is, you know, white and blonde and has more privilege than I do. When I do the privilege steps in, you know, on that YouTube video, you know, I don't get very far. So I feel the most confused I've ever felt, when I've never really felt confused about my race, my place in the world, and that shows my privilege and I'm very aware of that. And so it's a lot of learning what I have to do. And I have to be very honest with you and say, I feel overwhelmed by that because I'm having a miscarriage as we speak. And my mum only died 4 months ago as we speak. That's got nothing to do with privilege. That's just, you know, saying like, those are hard things that I'm dealing with that are heavy. And I wish I could just go back to like my bubblegum naive world where I just thought everything was fucking great. And I didn't think that anything would be able to stop me living a good life. And then my mum got diagnosed and died and I had a miscarriage. Then I had another miscarriage. And then there was a pandemic and you're like, oh shit, like, don't even believe that the world won't stop. The world could literally just stop turning. And then all of this stuff has blown up about racism and systemic racism and it's heavy and it's real. And all I keep thinking is, yeah, but good things are going to come out of this. Change is going to come out of this. In the same way with the Me Too movement. It's slow progress, but progress will come out of it. And I am going to learn more. I'm going to literally learn so much more. And that will be the magic in the shitstorm. I will evolve. This will be a year where I'll be able to say, fuck me. This is how I thought before this all happened. And this is how I think now. And I am regretful and shameful and feel guilt for the fact that I didn't look and I didn't educate and I didn't speak up sooner. And so now I don't know where that leaves me to sit I feel like I can't sit on a moral high ground, but I also feel like my story is important, and I also feel like I want to be heard, but I also feel like I need to shut up and hear more than I need to be heard. And that's difficult for me because that's me. It's a lot of stuff to work through. And I just want to say, if you are working through stuff, you're not alone, and don't feel bad for working through it or for speaking your truth or sharing your feelings. But we can't just sit in our own feelings and not acknowledge a collective grief and a collective feeling of the racism and the pain and the hurt that's going on, and then not educate ourselves. I think we are all entitled to feel how we feel, express how we feel, share how we feel. But I think we do have to share platforms of activists and of experiences and stories of people that don't look like ourselves, you, me, and diversify our own feed. Like, I looked at my Explore feed and was like appalled by the fact that the algorithm thinks I only want to see tall, white, blonde people getting married, apparently, which isn't the case, because I got, like, I don't know why it's still showing me like weddings, but anyway, I'm already married. But the point is, you know, the algorithm is based on my own feed and what it thinks I want to see. And we as individuals need to break out, speak up, learn, diversify, open up the conversation. And so even though it's hard and you think you're going to say something wrong, and you will, and people will comment and people will say things that you've said that they don't like or agree with or think is the right thing. And I'm sure, you know, there might be someone that will say, you've made this about you, potentially. I'm learning. We're all going to have to learn. And I always promised that I would share my feelings and my honesty about all of that learning stuff. So I'm going to end it there. That hopefully gives you an insight into the confusion that is within me, and I'll keep speaking on it and also sharing resources where I can on my platform. But thank you so much for listening, and I hope, if anyone does resonate with this, please drop me a comment, leave a review on the podcast. That would really help, because I really want to get this out there. But yeah, thank you, and I will see and speak to you all very, very soon. Okay. This episode was sponsored by Kettle Boobs. Unique, one-of-a-kind, imperfectly perfect, customized kettlebells that you can put on your mantelpiece if you don't want to work out at home, or you can work out at home. And if you do not know who Kettle Boobs are by now, I am Danny, and I am one half co-founder of Kettle Boobs themselves. We started the company back in March 2018, me and a best friend of mine, and we are so very proud of them. So go check us out at Kettle Boobs on Instagram, or www.kettleboobs.co.uk. Check out our hero boobs, but also you can give your own design and we will put it on a boob specially for you. The brand itself is about balance, it's about equality, it's about girl power, it's about diversity, it's about uniqueness, and we embrace all boobs, every boobs, one boob, two boobs, all the bloody boobs, and we hope that you love our boobs as much as we do. So, thank you for your support, and we will see you very soon.